WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host, Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today. Wow, Wednesday came quick this week, huh? Thank God for the holiday on Monday, Memorial Day, and it is already Wednesday. And the good news, besides it being Wednesday already, is we have church tonight, and you are invited. If you love the Bible, and I know you do if you're tuned in here to this show here, WGOD, we're having a great Bible study tonight. We're in Luke. We're in chapter 5 or 6, I forget. But going to have a wonderful time in the Word tonight, 6 o'clock. So if you're tuned in the evening at 5:30, hey, you still got about 28 minutes to point that car towards 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Still got time to make it, 6 o'clock. Going to have an awesome time in the Lord, in His Word. We always do every week. You are invited. I'd love to see you or perhaps meet you for the first time. Here today, this is going to be the second part of this message, Slow to Anger, or Lessons for Living. We're in the gospel, we're in the book of James. James, like Proverbs, is going through here verse by verse with some instructions, things to do, things not to do, attitudes of the heart. So that's where we're at here today. It's a wonderful study. And we've just got into this last week. If you'd like to hear the last one, you can go to my website. You'll find it up there, wgodradio.com. You can download the app, WGOD Radio. It's a free download. As soon as you do it, you'll see 4 or 5 folders on there. One of them says James. It's right there. You can share from the app. You can make a donation to this ministry from the app, which would be greatly appreciated. I pay to be on the air, just like the other programs do, because I believe in this radio station, and I believe in what we're doing, and I want to practice what I preach when I'm on the air and ask people for money to support the station. Just want you to know I do the same. I support it financially, and this radio program pays to be on the air, just like the other ones do. So really could use your financial support to help keep this program on the air. You can do that by sending a check to me if you want, Storos Ministries, or downloading the app, and you can share from there, WGOD Radio. Okay, let's get into the Word now. This is the next part in this ongoing series in the book of James, part 2 of Slow to Anger.
It says here, it is not able to do so. That it is you. You cannot hear from God when you walk this way and let this control you. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, when is it a good time to get angry? I'll answer that question with another question. When did Jesus get angry? 3 things. Number 1, when God was dishonored. When they started to use the sanctuary for other reasons than worshiping the king, Jesus was angry and said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you people have made it a den of thieves." How is this done today? Having bingo in your church. Using the sanctuary for bingo? That would make Jesus angry if he was here today. Not angry at you, angry at me. How about this one? This takes place within 2 miles of this church. Letting the Republican Party meet in your sanctuary and having monthly meetings there. You see, now the food pantry in the sanctuary is different because we're doing God's work here. Feeding the poor out of this church is an extension of worship. We come in here and worship, and God says, take care of his peeps. And that's what we do. We open the door. We wheel food in here. We use this house of God to help people that don't have a loaf of bread. That's the distinction. And why it's okay to do that in here. It's an extension of worship. Number two, Jesus was angry when God's house was, let's call it, vandalized. What else causes Jesus to get angry? Number three, unbelief. Unbelief makes him angry. If you would please turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Second book, New Testament, Gospel of Mark. Chapter 3, verse 1, and he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely to see whether or not he would heal on a Sabbath. Maybe even substitute that, you know, the church leaders were watching to see if he was going to do anything good on a Sunday. Right, it's crazy, isn't it? Oh, ways to know you've lost it, part one. Number one, the Son of God's in your presence. You've been waiting a billion eons of centuries. And here comes the Messiah. And you're bent out of shape because he's going to heal someone on a Sunday. You've lost it. You have lost it if you feel that way. They were watching him closely to see whether or not he was going to heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So he said to the man who had the withered hand, he said, step forward. Then he said to them, the accusers, tell me, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? And then it says, but they kept silent. Remember, Paul condemns those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They knew the right answer to that, and they just shut their mouth and didn't say anything. To suppress the truth in unrighteousness is to know the truth and to go silent and not say anything. Because you fear something. You fear the people. That's like being a Christian in the Democrat Party. And your party says to you, you are for abortion or get out. And you just keep silent and stay where you are. You have suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. And the Bible says you're just as guilty as those that do it. When you know to do the right thing and you don't do it and you keep silent about it, you're just as guilty as those that do it. Where's that in the Bible? It's the end of Romans chapter 1, isn't it? They kept silent. Verse 5. And when he looked around at them with anger. All right, Jesus is mad now. Now he's angry at these cats. They knew what the truth was. They knew who he was, but they were more concerned with upsetting the apple cart, or they were more afraid of what someone else might think about them, like maybe you are with your friends or neighbors, or people you go to school with, and you just keep silent when you know the truth, and someone asks you for the truth, and you don't say anything? So he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Very rarely do you see Jesus getting angry in the Bible. It doesn't happen very often. And, of course, he never gets angry at unbelievers. Hear me. Never. He loves unbelievers. He's never angry at them. What do they accuse him of? Jesus, the friend of tax collectors and sinners. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He was never angry at sinners. He was angry at them folks in the church that knew better, who knew the truth but kept their mouths shut in order to get along. Those were the ones he was angry with, the religious leaders of the church. So unbelief and a hard heart made him angry. The people of God who had no faith but should have had faith made him angry. So that's what we call now, we've heard the saying before, righteous indignation. Right? All right, we'll move on here. Do we got time to tackle one more paragraph, or does everyone want to go home or something? I mean, I've missed church this week. How about you? I mean, there's no worse upset stomach I get than when I'm sitting in my office at 10 after 12 and all of you people are gone. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. Maybe I'll just preach until 10 after 12. Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Really, we're changing subject matters a little bit, too. But anyway, knowing the correct way to deal with anger or wrath is important. Jesus only exhibited anger against the religious leaders of his day. Now, here today, as I said, Satan is trying to get and keep you angry in order to take you out. Because when you're angry, get the correlation, church. When you're angry, you can't. It's not when you're angry, you're going to have a hard time hearing from God. No, that's not what the Bible says. When you're angry, you just can't hear from him. You've closed that door because God operates and talks to you with a still, small voice. And anger is a wall that he just can't penetrate. You could write on a, you know what they say, how many angels could dance on a, whatchamacallit? You could write how many things is it that God can't do? And one of them would be minister to you when you're angry. It just can't happen. That primitive emotion, that's why Satan wants you angry, so he can take you out. So, if you follow politics all the time, then you'll no doubt be angry all the time. And if you're angry all the time, then you'll never hear from God any of the time. And that's, you see, how people are deceived. You know, and you feel bad because you love this country, and a lot of Christians love politics, but then when you find yourself angry over what these evil people have done to this country, you walk around angry all the time, and then you never hear from God any of the time. And then when the smoke clears, you got this guy here with the horns looking at you, laughing at you. Because it's a brilliant deception. He took your love and devotion for this country and took it and turned it on you and took you out. As an example, to prove my point, you look here now. Your flesh and the devil say to you, kill the abortion doctor. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, you couldn't hear that. Let me amplify it so you can hear it. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, there's the two differences. The man, he, matter of fact, by golly, he was a Baptist preacher that did it. He got so angry at the 60 million abortions, he goes, you know what? I'm going to just take care of this myself. So he got his gun, and he went out there to that fool abortion doctor, and he ended his ministry right there with a couple of bullets in his skull. And then he went to the gas chamber for it. You see, Jesus says, because you have done and I have done equally as bad to him, because sin is sin to him. Anyone without the blood will keep you out of the kingdom. Jesus says, as he said about you hanging on a cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Father. Forgive Pastor Paul, Father, because he knows not what he's doing. I could never quit smoking because someone get up and put a finger in my face and say, quit smoking. I would have broken that finger, first of all. But the time came when the Holy Spirit says, now, that's all right, Paulie. I love you. It's time to quit now. And here's the strength to do it. And then quietly, you walk away from it. And you beat the tar out of that sin in your life, and you move on. It never comes through getting in someone's face. God is the one that'll do the work. Man says, kill the abortion doctor. God says, you used to be as bad. God says, the wages of sin is death. Everyone understand that one? Easy to understand, right? We're doing Satan's work when you go out and kill that abortion doctor. That's Satan's work, not yours. Okay, now we're ready for today's therefore. Back to verse 19. Knowing this, my beloved brother, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And of course, what does that mean? No, this will not suffice. You know, I've been dying for months to get this out. It's only used for good purposes. The anger of man does not lead God to get out his giant gavel and slam that down and say, not guilty. It's never through anger. Listen to what he says again. The anger of man does not produce, you know, like mixing two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen and put it together. What do you got? The anger of man does not produce in God righteousness. Only love. Only love can do that. And the therefore, verse 21. Therefore, that is, since me getting angry can't fix anything, since me getting angry can't force God into declaring you not guilty, therefore, putting away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Now, John MacArthur points out here this Greek word for filthiness. Get this. The word used to mean earwax. Earwax. So he's saying here, we're earwax meaning sin. And earwax is preventing you from hearing from God. So when he says in removing all filthiness, back then that audience would have known what he's talking about. Get out your Q-tip, son, and get that old earwax out of your ears so that you can hear from him. I like that. Break out the Q-tips, get that old wax out of your ears, and receive the word of God. Now, the context here was the early church, these guys he was writing to, they were suffering extreme persecution because of the name. And he's trying to encourage them in his own tough little way, because James pulls no punches here. He's trying to encourage them that getting angry over your brother Sid being fed to the lions last week, getting angry over that wasn't going to produce the righteousness of God. Half your family's dead because of that crazy homosexual over there in Rome who's setting Christians on fire and feeding the rest of the lions. Getting angry about it is not going to save any one of them. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Just the opposite is true. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. This is, let me read it to you. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. This is his instructions for you and I, and then we're going to call it a day here this morning. Paul's instruction to Pastor Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:24 out of the ESV. It says, and Paul writing, the Lord's servant must not quarrel, but he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness, if perhaps God might grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Look at that. Look at what leads people to know and understand the truth. Your gentleness and patience with people. Do you hear what he said to them? Be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting them with gentleness, if God perhaps might grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. So you got to repent first. Then you'll come to the knowledge of the truth. Like all of you did, and me as well. We've repented, turned from sin, then we've received the knowledge of the truth. Next verse starts with the word and. And that they might come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. You're angry today? And if that's leading you, your primary emotion is anger. You're angry over what's going on here in this world and what's happened to this country. It's a brilliant deception. But you've been deceived. You've been deceived in order to take you out, to make you unuseful anymore for the kingdom of God. That's not your weapon. Your weapon is kindness and love. That's how you heap coals of fire on the enemy, right? So that's it for today. God's message today. There's been a whole bunch of people out here that have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. And it's our ambition to see them come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. And the way to accomplish that goal is spelled out right here. So be slow to get angry in this evil world, though there's plenty out here to get angry about. Because only faith will produce the righteousness of God. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
What is God's plan for you? God wants to enlarge you, not indulge you. God is not nearly so interested in making you happy and healthy as He is holy. And so God will put you into trouble. Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, the psalmist said this, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Now you think about that. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Think about the times when you have grown the most. When have been those times when you have developed and been enlarged spiritually? It's when your good friend Trouble came along. Your old pal, named Trouble. And that's when you've been stretched, and that's when you've been enlarged. We all enjoy not having trouble. But folks, I want to tell you, and I can give this testimony, that I have grown the most in my own life in times of deepest despair.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Death could not